You're listening to Called to Homeschool, episode number 197, What Yelling Does to Your Kid. Are you feeling the call to homeschool and you're not sure what to do? Or maybe you are already homeschooling and it doesn't look like what you hoped it would. My name is Megan Thomas and I'm a certified life coach, a mother of seven, and a homeschool pro with more than a decade of experience. I can show anyone how to create success in their homeschool, and I'd love to show you how. Are you ready? All right, welcome back. How are you doing? All right, you ready to get uncomfortable today? Kind of an interesting topic, huh? As we've been talking all month long about yelling, and I wanted to share this week kind of a perspective of what yelling does when you're the receiver of it. And I'm sure you can think about this from your perspective as an adult if you've had somebody yell at you, but I wanted to share with you something that I did just a couple years ago when I sent out a survey to teens, and I did it completely anonymously, so I didn't catch their names, their emails, anything, so I could have it 100% anonymous from them, of how yelling affected them. And I wanted to share it because I want you to get uncomfortable. Because discomfort is where growth is. And sometimes we have to look at things that maybe we don't want to look at in order to grow, right? And so that was kind of my intent with this. And another intent of this is also because I want you to understand why I am so big about this. So I could totally dive in with my story. And I've kind of talked a little bit about some of the choices I made, but I don't talk a whole lot about what was going on. And there was a lot of yelling and there was abuse in my home. And so I am a huge, I don't know the right word, pusher of trying to create peaceful homes because I know what it's like when you are a child growing up in those homes. But sometimes people, when they hear my story, they're like, well, yours was super bad, so I understand. Or they think I'm a unicorn and they couldn't create this in their home. So I wanted to share other people's perspective that it wasn't just like it was hard on me, but it is hard on teens and hard on anybody. And then also sharing kind of what happened when people did complete the challenge of how their home changed and what it looked like. So I wanted to share some of those things with you. Okay. So like I said, I did this survey and the first question I asked them was, how often was yelling happening in the home? And the possible answers were none, 1 to 2 times a week, 3 to 4 times a week, and then 5+. And I was shocked to see that 58% of the teens said that they were being yelled at more than 5 times a week. And I asked them, how do you feel when there is yelling at the home or being yelled at? And their answers varied from they felt scared, they felt frustrated, they felt bad, they felt annoyed, disappointed, worried, and so on. I then went on and to ask them the most common reason why their parents yelled at them. They said, when I do bad things, when I do things my parents don't want me to do, because of my behavior. But what I found was interesting, the most common reason was because I didn't listen. So we're going to put a pin in that real quick and a side note on not listening. When we have a relationship with somebody that yells at us, we tend to tune that person out and we don't really care to listen to them because there is not a connection and there is not a closeness. And so often if we have somebody that gets mad at us often, that is maybe critical or mean, we tend to avoid them and we try not to listen to them, whether consciously or subconsciously, we kind of just tune them out. So a lot of times kids aren't listening to their parents, and it really is true because there is yelling at them so that they are kind of just tuning out your voice. What's so interesting is that as you become a safe parent and you build that relationship, your kids start to listen to you. So that is a really fun side effect of what happens when you give up yelling, is that the biggest reason why parents yell, they feel like, is because their kids don't listen to them. And as you connect with them and build a relationship with them, one of the side effects is your kids listen to you. So that's super, just a fun side note. All right, and next question I asked them, the teens, how do they feel when their parents yell at them? So this is how they feel about themselves. They just, what's going on in their body. So they feel bad, they feel upset, They feel downhearted. This one made me giggle because I feel this one rebellious, right? So when we're like, oh, my teen is so rebellious and I don't know why. Sometimes it's so interesting to look and see if we are yelling at them. And if you have a rebel on your hands, this is actually encouraging that rebellious behavior to show up in them. This one actually breaks my heart is somebody said, actually multiple people said that I deserve this. And one of the things I thought was so sad about that is this thought of I deserve to be treated this way. It means as this child grows up and starts making relationships and even eventually somebody they marry, they may tend to look for somebody that treats them this way because they feel I deserve this. And so it's so interesting to just get curious as is my behavior teaching my children that it is okay to be treated like this in a relationship, right? That you just have to endure family yelling at you. And when you're yelling, often it's not kind things, right? Like, I love you so much, or you're a really amazing child. You're not usually yelling uplifting things. It's usually derogatory things. Why are you this way? Why do you have to be so dumb? Why can't you just follow our rules, right? A lot of questioning, a lot of belittling, critiquing, all those types of things, really negative stuff. And if we are teaching our children, like parents yell at you, it's okay to be in a relationship where somebody treats you like this. Are you unintentionally teaching your child that it is okay for people to treat them that way? I remember I had a girlfriend who has a very kind husband, and he was very sweet to her, very kind to her, patient, all those types of things. And then he had some health challenges and he was frustrated and angry and in pain and all of these things. And one day he was so frustrated, he ended up snapping and yelling at her. So in their long marriage, it's happened one time and she was so hurt. And she told me, I get it. I get why like teens don't like this at all. Like I hadn't been yelled at for so long. And then he did this. All of a sudden I can see why a child would not like this, why you are such a big pusher of teaching people all of these skills, because it was so hurtful. So I know that this can be a painful awareness of what yelling does to another person. But if you are willing to step into that space and look at it and say, okay, I love even saying, like giving yourself, I love the term space for grace. That was the tool I had. The only tool I knew of what to do when a child did something that I didn't like, the only tool I had was yelling and give myself space for grace of just like, okay, that's all I knew. And now I'm adding in more tools to my toolbox. And so yes, the old Meg, she did do these things and I love her for trying and I love her for now willing to do something different. And so I really don't want you to go into this guilt and shame spiral of I'm a horrible human, because that's just going to perpetuate the yelling and it's going to just continue things. But if you can just look at yourself and say, yeah, at that time, that is what I thought was the best thing because it was the only thing I knew of what to do. I didn't know what else to do. Things were off and I didn't know how else to fix it. So if you are willing to take some time of just like, okay, it's okay to feel bad about showing up in a way you wish you wouldn't have, and then choosing to do something different. So that's just something to kind of think about, that I really don't want you to go into this guilt and shame spiral, but just maybe even of giving yourself space, some grace, right? And some compassion and love, like, okay, you were doing the best, you knew how, and now you can do something different. So the questionnaire continues, and I went on to ask the kids what they think about themselves when they are being yelled at. They said that no one understands me, that my parents are hypocrites. Now, this one came up a lot about with like hypocrites and parents telling me I can't do something that they do, stuff like that. I feel dumb and so on. So what's really interesting to look at is not one of these kids said they felt like they learned something. They felt bad for doing whatever they had done or anything like that. A lot of them just thought, yeah, I'm stupid. I'm dumb. I feel bad about myself, all these types of things, but it didn't teach them anything. So think about this. If let's say your kid lied and you got upset and you yelled at them, yelling at them didn't actually teach them how and why to be honest. It more than likely taught them to be more sneaky or to not trust you. Now, this was another question. The next one, how do you feel towards your parents when they yell at you? So you are only in charge of yourself. right? You can't make somebody feel a certain way about you, just like somebody else can't make you feel a certain way about them. So it was interesting that if you want your children to respect you or to listen to you or to love you, yelling at them will not help create an environment where that can grow. So the teens said that towards their parents, they were angry, mad, frustrated, that my parents should just shut up because they do the same thing, right? So once again, not one of these kids thought kind things about their parents when they got yelled at. So you can see why this is creating this cycle. A child does something, does a behavior, parent gets mad and yells at them. Child feels frustrated and angry, they're not heard, all these types of things. And it keeps the behavior going, which keeps the yelling going, which keeps this cycle going of just negativity, right? Of not having connection, of not having these things. And if you, being the adult, are willing to say, I'm going to do something different. Child does a behavior, I'm going to do something different. I'm going to be the cycle breaker. I'm going to be the one who does something and challenges what we used to be doing. Instead of telling my kid, if you would just stop this behavior, I wouldn't have to yell at you anymore, because that means you are putting your child in charge of your emotions so that you are controlling them. And that, my friends, is exhausting, whether or not you have one child or 10. Trying to control somebody to be in charge of your emotions will wear you out. So thinking about how you want to be treated when you do, quote, something wrong. So let's say one of your kids asks you to grab something from the store and you completely forgot. Anybody else ever done this? I have. Like, Mom, I asked you to grab me this when you went to the store. I was like, oh my goodness, you totally did. And I totally forgot. How do I want to be treated? Because technically I did not listen to them. I did not remember what they asked me. I did not write it down. I just completely forgot. How would I want to be treated in that situation? Now, often we will justify, you can't treat me, you can't be rude to me, you need to respect me, you need to show up in a certain way because I am the parent and I have so much on my plate and I'm so overwhelmed. So like, I am totally allowed grace but I'm totally allowed this grace and understanding when I forget something because I'm an adult and things are hard. Right? Like, that's what we want. And it's so interesting because sometimes we don't reciprocate that to our children. Think about this too with your husband. How do you want him to be if you are in charge of dinner and you don't do it? Would you like him to come home? Like, right, if your child is in charge of their cleaning their room or taking out the trash or feeding a pet or doing something like that, and they just forgot, they weren't in the mood. Right? So if I wasn't in the mood to make dinner and my husband came home and I'm sitting in my bed reading a book, how do I want him to show up and treat me? Do I want him to say, oh my gosh, get off your butt. It's not going to kill you to get in the kitchen, woman. Like, make me a sandwich, whatever, right? Like, I don't want him to do that. I would love for him to be understanding, like, hey, what's going on? Like, are we not eating dinner? Are you feeling okay? Can I help you? What was the plan for tonight, right? But just being understanding and asking questions. Imagine doing that with your teens when something goes off. They don't do something that they said they would do. Like, oh, hey, maybe they just need a gentle reminder. Like, oh, hey, don't forget to feed the dog. Like, ugh, that's fine, right? And it's so funny because sometimes we can get hung up on eye rolls or, ugh, that's so stupid, I don't want to. Like, hey, you should just enjoy doing this. And it's so interesting because we aren't always excited to do things we are, quote, supposed to do, right? And so just allowing them that space to be human, being understanding with them, all those types of things. So I asked the teens, how do you wish your parents showed up to you instead of yelling? And they said they would love for their parents to explain why. And I think that is a big one, because if your answer is because I'm an adult, that stinks, right? Because I said so. Those are terrible reasons. If you don't have a why, then you need to question, why are you asking your kids to do this? There's so many, like, if you have, I think it's Nietzsche who said it, if you have a strong enough why, you can withstand any how. So if you have a strong enough why, then you can start teaching it to your children, even though they may think it's stupid or something like that. It's like, that's okay. I'm still going to teach you this and you can think it's dumb. But I have a strong why of, so one of my kids is in charge of the chickens. We've had frigid temperatures. He's had to go out and break up the ice water every day. It's freezing outside. It's not fun. And he's not excited about it. But I have a strong why of teaching him these skills to take care of our animals. Eggs, the prices of eggs have gone up so much, right? So I have another strong why of, like, taking care of our chickens. So we are having our eggs and all these types of things. And just being okay that he thinks it's stupid, right? So really getting curious of that why. So I love that one. Explain why. And also keep me in touch with how you feel. How they feel is what they said. And isn't that an interesting one? Like, I feel frustrated right now. You said you were going to be home at 10 and it is 11, right? Like, I don't know how this kid exactly wanted, right? But just thinking like, I feel a little annoyed right now because you said you would do this and you didn't. And allowing people to just check in and like, this is how I feel. Another teen said they wish that their parents would just ask nicely, right? Like, why can't you just ask me nicely to go and do the dishes or ask me nicely to go and do my schoolwork or ask nicely something like that? Another one was just talk to me, for them to be calm and loving, for them to respect me. So those are a lot of the answers that were coming up. Obviously, I've grouped in like the main ones that people have answered. So it's not all the answers. But isn't that interesting that our children also want to be treated calmly, with love, with patience, with respect, and all of those types of things, for somebody to be calm and to treat them well. And it's so awesome that when we show up this way, we are now teaching them that these are the kind of people you want in your life. And this is also how you can treat other people. And I'm going to show you how. That is how I know I want to be treated when my humanness shows up and I make a mistake. So that was from the teen's point of view of how they feel. I've had the opportunity to coach a lot of teens. And then obviously the survey and seeing a lot of things from teens' perspectives. Even my kids' friends and things like that, and just kind of talking to them. I'm always quizzing kids, like, tell me what's going on, like in a not judgmental way. I am always just legitimately curious. Like, tell me what's going on. Why do you hate your parents? Why do you think they're stupid? Right? Like, I just love to know those things. So So now I wanted to share with you what some of the parents said that happened in their home when they worked on not yelling. Now, I want to point out that they did not go 100% without yelling. Some of them did, but not all of them did. So just the mere act of trying to do something different, the results they started to see in their home. Their kids saw that they were trying super hard and their kids were very aware of that. And I think children are so forgiving and so understanding, and they give us a lot of space to practice being more patient, to practice being more calm, to allow our humanness to show up. And they forgive us so simply, especially young children. So this is what some of the parents had to say. I am starting to see a shift. My children are being kinder. They are more helpful and they are listening. I have a little boy who I especially see progress. The more I connect with him, the less hitting, fighting, and yelling he does. This is even sometimes when others are melting down that he tries to comfort them. Everyone seems to get along better. Our days seem to flow better. The children were very supportive of me, and it seemed like we worked to create solutions. People were speaking more kindly and the children were more cooperative. There was more peace in our home and more patience. I've noticed that my kids fight with each other less on the days that I'm able to succeed at not yelling. My son has been yelling at his sibling a lot, and I am seeing this start to decrease. I like me, and I think they like me more now. I feel like there was less contention, and at least that is what, or it was shorter lasting. I could keep going, but it was so neat to see what changes happened for the parent. Also, right? So that's what they said happened in their home. But I wanted to know what happened to them, to the type of person they became as they were doing this. They said they felt calmer and happier, had more peace, more patience, and so on. They started to become the parent that they knew they had the potential to become. So part of the reason why I have extended this to make it a 9-month class is because I want everyone to experience this and have as much help as possible to make it happen. I think the world needs more peace, more love, and more joy. If you've ever heard the phrase, hurt people, so what does that mean happy people do? What does that mean that joyful people do? What is that people who feel patient, who feel love, who feel understanding, how do they show up in the world? And I think our world needs more and more happiness and joy. And so as we start to create this change within our home, it starts to overflow into our community and it starts to overflow and starts creating peace and joy. And it always starts with us, right? There's a quote, I don't have it in front of me, so I may butcher this. It's by Ezra Taft Benson. And he talks about the world works from the outside in. The Lord works from the inside out. The world would take the man out of the slums. And it's something along the lines of, but just by removing him from the slums, it didn't remove the slums of his heart, right? But the Lord, and I wish I would have looked up this quote, but I just thought of it. The Lord actually removes the slums from our heart, and we remove ourselves from the slums, right? And it basically that we make everything better as we change our hearts. And it's so interesting because our homeschool, a lot of the homeschool, especially well-educated heart, and even Charlotte Mason was all about the heart and was all about connecting and being that type of person who doesn't even desire to yell, that is inspired by beauty because your heart is open. And so I know I've been talking about yelling all month, but friends, I am passionate about it. I have seen not only amazing changes happen in my own home, but it is an honor and a privilege to get to present this and share this with the world, to share this with other people, to see that they can have this too. They can love being a parent. They can teach their children and work with their children. And it is amazing. So I highly, highly encourage, recommend, invite you to come and join and do this no yelling course. So you just would join the regular membership and the no yelling course will be a part of it. You get basically how the month would go is you would get a new content week 1, 2, and 3. And week 4 is kind of that rest week. And we would have a coaching call and just kind of help you to absorb everything that we're taking in and all those types of things. And then when we get to November, there will be no more courses, but more group weekly coaching calls. And everybody will get their own private coaching call to really help them with their concerns. Like, okay, here's where I'm really concerned about is because my kid keeps lying, or my kid won't come home when they said, or my kid just ripped up their math book, right? Like, I want to help you to have the tools within your own home and do that in a private session with you. So if you are ready to have this be your year where you really learn how to connect with your kids, learn how to parent without yelling, and teach your kids how to listen to you without yelling, I would love to have you join me. Just go to my website, www.coachmegthomas.com, and click on the link, No Yelling Course, up top. Also, you can message me if you have any additional questions. And if not, then let's get started next week. Love you so much. Have a great week. Are you ready to take the concepts learned on this podcast to the next level? Then I invite you to join Mama's Members, a place where I will help you succeed in your family and homeschool beyond what you thought was possible. You will have access to hours of content, a place to ask questions, and weekly coaching calls to help you be the amazing homeschool mom you are called to be. To sign up, go to www.coachmegthomas.com/join. I can't wait to see you there.